Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
If I mess up, you know, he'll be back next week and he can fix it. But a lot of you guys, before I even get started, let me just pray really quick. If you guys just close your eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for who you are in my life. Father, I thank you for always being there for me when I mess up, when I get it wrong. Sometimes when I have the thoughts that I have, Lord, I just thank you for not giving up on me, for continuing to use me, Lord Father. So today, I just need your help. I want you to be here with me this morning. Lord, let your words come out of my mouth, Lord, that it would penetrate your children this morning, Lord, that they would walk out of here just a little different than the way they came in. Lord, I need your help. I love you, Father. I thank you for allowing me to be up here. I give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And all his children said, amen. I promised that I was going to teach this morning. I wasn't going to preach. But for some reason, I've been so emotional since I got here this morning. And a lot of you guys know I got injured back in January. I'm not going to make this about my injury, but I got injured back in January. I hurt my shoulder. I've had surgery early last month. And it put me up. I've been sitting on my couch for a few too long of weeks. It seems like months. Those of you guys that know me know that I'm a doer. I'm always doing things. I'm always busy. I'm always trying to get things done at home. If I'm not doing it at home, I'm doing it here. If I'm not doing it here, I'm hopefully helping somebody do it. But I just don't know how to stay still. I don't know how to relax. And so through this past few weeks, I feel like I've been just at the feet of my Father, just asking him to help me refocus. And I like to say that was my initial thought. I was, Lord, just let me refocus. But I felt like I was kind of upset and angry because I got hurt right at the beginning of spring. And, well, I think it's spring. I don't know. I mean, but I got hurt, and I have so much stuff to do that I was frustrated. I've been frustrated with myself for getting hurt. I've been frustrated for getting hurt at the wrong time. And I thank my beautiful wife for being next to me, because without her, I probably wouldn't be here, because I would be stinking because I couldn't take showers by myself. I couldn't do anything. That's another story. I don't like, let's not get into that. But I just want to thank her in front of everybody. I mean, she's my rock. She's my everything. But with that, I've been just at the feet of my Father, and I've been thinking there's so many things that are competing for my limited time and energy in my life. There's so many things. There's chores and there's unfinished projects that I need to get done. There's worries about my future and dreams that I want to pursue and spiritual growth and opportunities that I want to take advantage of. Oh, and by the way, there's also entertainment and social media and friends and family that are just fighting for my attention and my time. So how do I decide how and what way I invest my energy? And I want to be healthy. I want to be rested. I want to be productive. I want to be focused on right things in my life. But daily demands and distractions get in the way every single day in my life. So I settle for routine and constantly staying busy, hoping that I'll have more time in the future so I can do the things that I'm dreaming of, spend more time with my family, my grandkids. I like to say grandkids because I'm expecting a second one. I love that sound of that. But just hoping that one day I'll have enough time to do the things that I want to do, that I dream to do. And so today I'm hoping that instead of just hoping to have enough time, that we will start taking steps into really simplifying, slowing down, and becoming healthier so I can do the things that I want to do. I don't want to just let things happen. I want to start planning so I can be everything that I want to be. So really quick, I give you guys permission to lean in. I'm going to speak to myself for a little bit. You guys are welcome to just listen in. If you get something out of it, God bless you. It's free. So I want to focus on things that are most important in my life. And what are those? Well, my relationship with God, my relationship with family, with the people that I love, my relationship with myself, right? Sounds great, right? Sounds simple. But the question is, how do I press pause on everything that's going around, competing for my limited time and my limited energy, and so that I can refocus on the things that matter most in my life? How do I do that? And what I realized this last couple months that I've been sitting on my couch feeling sorry for myself is that something that Jesus has been trying to teach me for a very long time, but I've been too busy to pay attention. So not that he hurt me, but he took this thing that happened to me so that I can refocus. And he said, and it's crazy because I felt sorry for myself for a little bit, but I went to another church and I had the pastor come and speak over me and say, you know what? Sometimes, pastor, God has to slow us down so that we pay attention to what he's trying to tell us. Come on, somebody in here needs to hear that. Sometimes he doesn't hurt you, but he can take the same thing that we do. Because I promise you, God wasn't there when I got hurt. I was too busy, too tired, and I didn't have enough energy. I wasn't taking care of my body. So I got injured because of something that I did. And then I start blaming him, or I start getting upset. And then I meet him at his feet, and he says, no. Here, I'm going to take this that you did to yourself, and I'm going to show you what I've been trying to tell you for a long time. I've always been one that says, you know what? When you're going through a storm, be a student of the storm. It's really easy to preach it, but it's really hard when you're sitting on the couch feeling sorry for yourself. So today I'm going to preach to myself, if that's okay. Because I know my wife knows this. I don't know who else knows this, but the only one that can listen, or the only way that I can listen to somebody is the only person I listen to is myself. Did I say that right? Nobody tells me what to do, not even me, sometimes. I kid, but it's the truth. Sometimes God has to put me in a situation so that he can give me exactly what I need to hear. So he's been trying to show me how to simplify my life. How do I know this? Well, because Jesus lived the most meaningful, productive, relationally full life. But he also lived a simple life, focusing on God and focusing on his own health. See, if we dare call ourselves Christians, then we're saying that we're Christ-like. And if you're struggling today, burning both sides of the candle every single week, every single day, then maybe we just need to refocus and pay attention. Amen. To the pattern that Jesus himself has shown us. Yes, sir. Matthew 22 says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Yes, nothing is more important than your relationship with God, church. Amen. But it's so easy to allow busyness and distractions to keep you from intentionally just spending time with your Heavenly Father. So we just seek simplicity, or in order to seek simplicity, we just need to start prioritizing our time.
I was talking to the team back here before service, and Pastor Matt said, you know, the problem with people being too busy is they don't know how to prioritize their time. And I say, you know, that's awesome if we can just invent a pill and give it to people, because it is not that easy, right? It's great when you can figure it out. And I jokingly said, yeah, you and my wife, you know, you're probably the only perfect people in this room that know how to prioritize your time, because I don't have enough time at the end of the week to accomplish everything that I need to accomplish. So there's 5 steps I'm going to talk about today. The first one, if you're taking notes, is we got to create a healthy pattern. Luke chapter 12 says this, then Jesus said to the disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and your body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add one simple hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? See, you have plenty of responsibilities to take care of. You got plenty of chores to complete and expectations to live up to. We need to start to consider how we can simplify, slow down, and better our health so that we can do life the way that God expected us to do it. Everyone wants a rationally full life, a productive life, a meaningful life. But so many of us are so tired and stuck in a routine. We're just doing our best to keep up with everyday demands. It's so easy to forget this basic spiritual truth when we're so busy, that God is in control and we're not. If the enemy can get us busy enough and tired enough, then he's got us. He's not concerned with physically killing you. He's not concerned with taking it. He just wants to get you tired and busy. Because when you get tired and busy, he's got you. Amen. But the Bible says that 6 days a week were meant for getting things done. But the seventh day, which they called the Sabbath, was for rest. No cleaning, no yard work. Babe, lean in really quick. Sundays, no cleaning, no yard work, no errands. Nothing productive could be done on the Sabbath. Why? One reason is because we need physical and mental rest. Our bodies, our minds need a healthy pattern to work and rest and remain in good condition. It's a pattern after Jesus himself. But the Sabbath is also a weekly reminder of that what? That God is still in control. Listen, you can do so much more with 90% of your time than you could with 100. Let me say that again, because somebody in here needs to hear this. You can do so much more with 90% of your time than you could with 100. Give God his 10% of your time. Not what's left over, but what's rightfully his. Whether we're working or resting, he's the one holding everything in his hands, which means that that's not our job. When we choose to take a break from our projects and everything that we have to do, we're making a declaration that late projects, unfolded clothes, again, babe, unfolded clothes, unread emails, unreturned phone calls, don't threaten our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So how do we do the Sabbath today? Well, that depends on your situation. See, there's a lot of us that have to work, and we work a lot of hours every day. We can't. That's out of our control. We have a lot of responsibilities every day. I don't want you to feel guilty. It's not about it. Listen, if you can't take a full day off on the week, don't feel guilty about it. But when you can rest, rest and do it well. Amen. See, for some of us, this could be a few minutes of sitting down before you go to work and just spending some quiet time with your Heavenly Father. For some of us, it could be an hour, a couple hours. For some of us, it could be a week. Whatever it is, just find a place where you can retrieve, find rest. Quiet your mind down so you can hear your Heavenly Father speak to you right where you're at. Yes, sir. Amen. As you take regular breaks, remember that the world doesn't rest on your shoulders. God is in control. Amen. And you can rest in Him. Yes, sir. Number two, if you're taking notes, is you got to examine your priorities. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, for the joy that set before Him to endure the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Imagine you have in front of you a list of the most important things in your life. What would it look like? Family, friendships, personal health, your relationship with God should probably be up there on top of the list, right? Now imagine you have a second list. What does it really look like? The second list is showing what takes most of your time and energy. Now, how similar are both of those lists? If you're like most people, work and chores, meeting the needs of people who rely on you, most of the time. That's not criticism. That's just reality, right? Yes, see, because few people can quit their jobs and spend all day long with their families and friends, right? We can't just stop doing chores and neglect our responsibilities. It doesn't work that way. So how do we do it? What's the solution? How do we fight for what matters most and still meeting our everyday expectations? What I figure out is first, find out small ways to change your priorities. It doesn't have to be the whole picture. It could just be small changes that are going to lead you in the right positive way, right? And as you do that, if your family is the most important thing that you feel like you need to focus on, then prioritize paying attention to them. When you're home, put your phones down, like somebody was saying. Turn them off. Have an eye-to-eye conversation with your kids. Speak from your heart. Let them listen to them a little bit. Amen. One of the things that we realize is these kids are needing some time to talk. They just want to be heard. And we're so busy that we're missing it. Don't focus on things that are not important, that have nothing to do with your family, if that's what's important in your life right now. Don't worry about, I'm going to keep going because hopefully my wife will listen. But don't worry about unfinished chores, right? Don't worry about things that can't get done. I'm kidding, but listen, the past few weeks I've been frustrated, and my wife's the one that's been reminding me, Javier, it's okay. The rock is okay if it sits out there for another month. It's going to be all right, right? The patio will get built. Babe, you're all right, okay? We got trees. You don't have to build the patio right now. We need to just focus, if it's family, focus on family. Focus on your kids, man. We got all these kids graduating, and we feel like they were just babies 3 months ago, and they're leaving and they're growing, and we miss, some of us, we missed it. We don't even know how they got there. Because we've been so busy trying to provide, trying to do work, trying to make sure that everybody around us is happy with us. And if your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life right now, then prioritize that. My wife and I do marriage counseling, and one of the things that we see most of the time when we meet with people that are dealing with issues in their marriage is that their intimacy is nowhere to be found. So my wife and I, we say, you know what, you're going to have to schedule it. You're going to have to put it on the schedule. You're going to have to, like, schedule it twice a week, right? Because if you don't, everything that's not important is going to take your time, and you're never going to be intimate with each other, and the enemy is just going to drive a wedge between you, and before you know it, you're going to be miles apart and you don't even know how you got there. The same pattern goes with our relationship and our intimacy with God. I'm going to step on somebody's toes, especially those listening online right now. Say, I told you, Pastor Travis is going to have to fix some stuff. You have to prioritize your intimacy with God. You have to put it on the schedule. Come on, church, you got to put it on the schedule. Church starts at the same time every Sunday. Oh, yeah, we got church on Wednesdays, too. I don't know, some of you guys don't know that. Oh, we have prayer on Tuesday nights that I think two people show up to, adults. We have prayer on Tuesday nights for our young people it's Thursday nights for adults, Tuesday nights for young people. We got about, I don't know, somewhere around 10 or 12 kids that show up. You got to prioritize your intimacy with God. You got to put it on the schedule. If you don't, life gets busy, things, chores, and pretty soon you haven't talked to God in months. And you have no idea why your life is going the way that it's going because you're too busy. He's trying to get a hold of you. He's trying to get your attention. He says, follow my pattern. Follow what I've showed you. Okay, I'll keep going because I'm going to get in. As you prioritize what matters most, consider what you're spending your time on that doesn't bring you any life, any peace, any joy. And begin to replace some of those things with spending time with God. I'm telling you, you can do so much more with 90% of your time than you could with 100. We can't simplify our lives overnight, I know that. But if we can take daily steps to fight for simplicity, we can get there. And as we do, our lives will gradually become more closely centered around the things that matter most. Number three, invest on solitude. Life has a way of keeping us or keeping our minds constantly busy. Man, if he can't get you physically busy, he'll get your minds busy. Yes, right? How many of you guys have time or problems sleeping because you're worried about what you got to do tomorrow? That's me. I haven't been doing it in a while, but guess what? I have to sleep with my TV on because I have to shut my mind off. Because I can't fall asleep if it's just pitch dark because I start worrying about everything that I have to do, things that I messed up. Sometimes I have to run to the church because I don't know if I turn something on or I filled up the baptismal. I mean, my mind's constantly going. Because we're constantly thinking about the future, about projects, worrying about others, what they think of us, social media, entertainment. I watch so many. I'm guilty of that. If I'm bored, I can pick up my phone and waste about 30 minutes just scrolling. It's crazy. And I try to teach the kids, hey, put your phone away. I can't even do it myself. It's no wonder so many people feel so exhausted because our minds are running, mental and emotional marathons all day long, all week long, right? I watch people, I ask my wife, how do we do it? Because I watch people that have 3 or 4 kids and their kids are on everything. And they're running from Oregon all the way to Salt Lake and they're doing it every single day. And yet still trying to keep their house in order and still working and all. I would have lost my God-given mind a long time ago. I told, we had 2 kids, praise God, 2. My wife was in charge of running with Karina, my oldest, and I was in charge of running with my youngest. Wherever we went, when they got old enough, we were done. And guess what? They only did one thing. My daughter played soccer. That was it. That's all I can handle. We, you know, there's so much. And if you're running emotional and mental marathons, that's probably a little bit of your problem. So how do we find relief? One way we can practice solitude is this. Listen, Matthew 14:13 says this. He left the boat to a remote area to be alone. Luke 5:16 says this. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Luke 6 says Jesus went out to the mountains to pray and spent all night praying to God. On multiple occasions in the Bible, we see Jesus intentionally choosing to take a break and take time to be with his heavenly Father. Why? Because he knew the value that it had for his life. Spending a distraction-free time gives our mind space to relax and rejuvenate and focus. And if Jesus prioritized his time alone with God, maybe us as a church should make that a priority as well. Thank you, I got one. We practice solitude by taking a break from day-to-day activities, finding a place that we can be alone and allowing our minds to unwind and simply dwell on God's loving character. And like I said, this can last a few minutes with some people because that's all you have. It could be an hour, it could be a couple hours, it could be weeks, whatever works for you. My wife does this every day. She wakes up, she puts on worship music, she's listening to something, she's doing something, and I'm like, I guess I'm awake too, right? She's so good at it. She starts the atmosphere in our home with the presence of God every single morning. I appreciate that about her. Solitude can also be a helpful practice when we need direction in our life. I mean, Jesus himself in scripture, we see him spend time in solitude right before choosing the 12 disciples that he was going to spend the next 3 years with. See, I see that he's going to spend time with the Father asking for direction, asking for wisdom. And being away from everything that distracted him, allowed him to hear from the Father and have direction. It's so hard to take time to pursue solitude, isn't it? It's hard. I'm busy all the time. It's so hard for me to find time. If I'm not prioritizing time with God, it's so hard, but it's so much harder, I realize, to be constantly, mentally and physically exhausted. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you. Because when you're exhausted mentally and physically, the only thing you have energy for is to focus on the negative things. You don't have time. I remember, I'm just going to be transparent, but the very first week after my wife went back to work, after I was sitting down on my couch, I was so frustrated. And my wife kept sending me Bible verses and podcasts, and I was so frustrated and exhausted that I didn't even have the energy to read it. I was so focused on where I was at that I couldn't find energy to sit at the feet of my Father. There was times where I even got mad at her because she stopped sending me stuff. I'm trying to sleep. So you need to find time to unplug. I got to hurry. I got a lot to get over.
Let's go on to number 4. This is a very important one. It doesn't lean in a little bit. But number 4 is you got to seek repentance. It says in Luke 5, it says, later Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complain to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered to them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 says this, now I am glad I said it, not because I hurt you, or not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. For that kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Just see what this godly sorrow produces in you, such earnestness, such concern to clear yourselves, such indignation, such alarm, such longing to see me, such zeal, and such readiness to punish wrong. You show that you have done everything necessary to make things right. Everyone makes mistakes and unhealthy choices. It's what we do in response that makes a difference. See, because Jesus willingly gave his life for us, we know that we receive full and free forgiveness without earning it. Why is forgiveness and repentance so important? Because when you carry stuff from your past, it's exhausting, right? When you carry things that you haven't dealt with, the world, you just feel this heaviness over yourself. You can't really focus on the things that God wants for you because you feel like you're not good enough to receive everything he has for you. You feel like that's for everybody else, that's perfect, but not for you. Repentance is a very important thing that we need to do as Christians so that we can have everything that God has called us to have. Because if we don't, then we fight this life where we constantly feel like we're not good enough or we're not righteous enough, that God's grace is for everybody else except for me. One reason why most of us struggle to simplify our lives and slow down is because we keep holding on to things that are weighing us down from the past. How you deal with pain and past experiences? See, most people choose one of these ways to deal with past. Stuff in their life. They could either ignore it, deny it. They'll try to forget about it, pretend it never happened, but it's always there. We live in constant guilt, shame, and fear that we're going to get hurt again, that it's going to happen again, and it keeps us from moving forward. It's like being stuck in quicksand. So it's very important to be able to forgive, extend forgiveness, and forgive yourself in order to move on. But there's a third way. See, it's a healthier way to process our mistakes, failures, and sin.
We can hold on to it and pretend like it didn't happen, or we can just repent of it and ask for forgiveness. Right? We have to, you got to remember what I said. Everything, God holds everything in his hand. It's not for us to hold on to. The enemy wants you to hold on to it. The enemy wants you to carry it. Because when you carry it, it weighs you down and you can't go the direction that God wants you to go. 2 Corinthians is expressing deep sorrow and desire for repentance. What is repentance? It's not just feeling sorry for your sin, but it's also taking action and responsibility and allowing that once you repent, that you grow and you become better because of it. It's not staying in it. When we repent, we acknowledge that harm that was caused to us. We acknowledge that we've hurt others, or others have hurt us. We heard that every time we hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness, it's hurting God's heart. When we repent, we remember God's forgiveness, and we look for ways that we can forgive others that have hurt us and be able to forgive ourselves. When we repent, we let go of distractions like guilt, fear, pride, and even better, we strengthen our relationship with the people that matter most to us, and we strengthen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Number five, okay, I got a half hour. I'm doing good. Make time to rest from day to day. It's number five if you're taking notes. Matthew 11 says this, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. See, it's popular in this world to maximize how much you can do in a day. This world is pushing you to do the most that you can do in your lifetime, right? I mean, you can look up anywhere in the internet, and it's promoting how to get the most, how to make the most money, how to get the most out of your time. But as we look first, as we look at the four points that I've been making, we see that God is less concerned with our output and more concerned with our growth and our character. As I make this last point, I want you to take a look on how we can find a little bit of refreshment in Christ. How we can find a little bit of refreshment in our life every single day. Take a look at this statement that Jesus made in Luke. He says, the news about him spread all over, or all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What makes this so incredible, so surprising, is that people wanted to hear Jesus speak and receive healing, but Jesus often chose to walk away so he could spend time alone with his Father. That's right. He sacrificed activity, opportunity to help others, to slow down and rest in the Father's presence. Doesn't that seem strange? Jesus, that people, can you imagine? Imagine this. Imagine you got dozens of people coming for your attention. Nicole, imagine you got 27 trucks, cars waiting outside to get clean, and you just say, you know what, you put the clothes down, be back in an hour, and you go for a walk. That's crazy. It sounds crazy, right? In the world that but this is what Jesus did. Even the idea of doing something like that sounds crazy. It sounds unheard of. This is Jesus. So why did he do that? Because he followed the lead of his father on every occasion. He was waiting for his father to speak to him before he made a move. Because he could only be as helpful as he was healthy. Come on, somebody needs to hear this. Jesus himself, Jesus, could only be as helpful as he was healthy. Man, if Jesus needed to retrieve and get some rest, how much more do we need to do it in today's age? He did only what the Father was calling him to do at any given moment. He wasn't concerned about what everybody wanted him to do. He was concerned about what the Father wanted him to do. Listen, Jesus, fully God, fully human, understood that during his time on earth, not only did he have an incredible amount of work to accomplish to be in his Father's will, but he also needed rest in order to be his best. Healthy patterns like the Sabbath ensure that we take time to rest weekly on a weekly basis. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus knew that he had to prioritize his time, not just on the Sabbath, but every time he needed rest. He didn't hesitate to rest when he knew he needed it. He walked away from needs, he walked away from demands, he walked away from expectations of others, just so he can hear his Father's heart more clearly. So how do we simplify our lives? We can just hope. We can't just hope that it's just going to get more simple, right? We can't just hope that our life is going to slow down a little bit. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit inside of us when it's telling us that we need to find some rest and sit at his feet. Don't allow guilt and demands and expectations to burn you out. Our world is obsessed with productivity, so you're probably going to get some resistance from people. I'm not telling you to be irresponsible. I'm not telling you to be lazy. That's not what your pastor's saying this morning. Don't get the wrong idea. You still have to parent. You still have to go to work. You still have to pay bills. What I'm saying this morning is you got to prioritize your time with your Heavenly Father. Listen, if you're in here, if you're listening online and you call yourself Christian, what I'm saying is you got to be Christ-like. And if you're busy, if you're exhausted, if you're running and your day has more work than it has time, then maybe you need to pay a little bit more attention. Listen, don't wait till you break a shoulder or to your in a couch to say, okay, now I'm going to pay attention. I hear so many people say, you know what, when I retire, I'll start serving. When I retire, I'll have more time for God. It's crazy. Jesus was here to do a work, an important work, and he still withdrew from what the people wanted him to do. From things he knew he had to do, but he had to be healthy in order to do it. Amen? I'm going to close, I think. Romans 12:2 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly a way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior, the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. There are limitless distractions competing for our limited attention. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to resist the urge to be busy all the time and instead focus our lives on what matters most, our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves, so that we can create a slower, simpler, healthier life. So my prayer tonight, today, is just that we focus on ways to simplify our lives to what matters most and get rid of things that don't need our attention, don't bring us any joy, any hope, any purpose. Is that all right? You guys receive that this morning, church? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Dear God, Father, please help me to keep looking for ways to simplify, to slow down my life, Father, so that I can sit at the feet of you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just allow me to focus on the things that matter, Lord, that I won't take a step, say a word, or do anything without hearing from you first. Father, let me prioritize my time, Lord. Set aside every single day some time to spend with you, some quiet time, so I know that purpose and the direction that you want for my life. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life and let me put you first in everything that I do. Father, I give you all the glory, all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I pray that this message would just hit somebody today, whether online or here today. Father, I pray that you let them walk out of here a little bit different than the way they came in. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And all his children said, amen, amen. God bless you guys.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.